take me far away. So keep them coming, please let me escape. Take me somewhere I've never been.
Hello. Welcome to the Literature Out Loud series produced by the International Center for Writing and Translation with the support of Illuminations at the University of California, Irvine. I'm Carrie Noland, director of the International Center for Writing and Translation. Literature Out Loud was directed by Sarah Rodriguez, sound engineered by J.J. Margolis, with music by Francesca Beach. We hope you will enjoy these podcasts, made in response to the conditions imposed by the COVID-19 virus that ended almost all activity on campus for more than a year. The team at the International Center offers these beautiful readings as a gift and as an homage to the resilience and commitment of UCI students, staff, and faculty. On this episode, you will hear selections from Conference of the Birds by the Sufi Persian poet Farid Uddin Attar, translated into English by Sholeh Wolpe and read by Chantrell Lewis. But first, you'll hear a brief introduction by Professor Nazreen Rahimieh.
Hello, my name is Nazreen Rahimieh, and I am a professor of comparative literature at UCI. I'm delighted to introduce you to one of the works of the 13th century Persian poet and mystic Farid Uddin Attar. His name, Attar, tells us that he made a living as an herbalist, but he's celebrated for his poetic compositions. You will be hearing selected passages from Sholeh Wolpe's English translation of his renowned allegorical tale, The Conference of the Birds, which encapsulates the soul's longing for unification with God. The Persian mystics are also referred to as Sufis. The word Suf means wool in Arabic, and is believed to be a reference to the simple woolen garb the ascetics wore. While there are many schools of Sufism, they adhere to a common objective of seeking divine love and knowledge. To attain this spiritual fulfillment, aspiring Sufis embark on a path that requires shedding material and worldly concerns. Instead, they devote themselves to a life of prayer and contemplation. Their spiritual quest is supported by a guide who has the experience to recognize when they're about to succumb to desires and temptations and is capable of reorienting them toward their objective of being in the presence of divine truth. Attar, the author of The Conference of the Birds, is believed to have been an adherent of Sufism or Islamic mysticism. And this particular narrative poem of his offers a rich example of the hardships and rewards of the mystical quest. The story, as the title suggests, revolves around a gathering of all the birds of the universe to find a king who will serve them as a just ruler. The hoopoe, who ultimately assumes the position of their guide, suggests the legendary bird Simorgh, who has not been seen by anyone but is believed to live on a distant mountaintop. Simorgh is part of an ancient Iranian legend and figures in pre-Islamic Iranian tales. But in Attar's poem, Simorgh remains invisible. In fact, As the Hoopoe explains, the only available evidence of his existence is a feather from his plumage that fell to the ground. What is known of the simorgh is the impression of the single feather that has been kept in a gallery in China. To find simorgh, the birds would have to undertake an arduous journey and to be willing to let go of their ego, pride, and desire. Not surprisingly, one bird after another comes forward to offer their excuses for not undertaking the journey. The hoopoe responds to each, pointing out to them how their excuses are themselves indicative of their attachment to appearances, possessions, reputation, and perceived power. At long last, the hoopoe persuades them to embark on the path to simorgh. As they travel through seven valleys of quest, love, knowledge, detachment, unity, wonderment, poverty, and annihilation, the hoopoe offers them parables befitting the challenges they face at particular stages of their journey. These parables offer wisdom and encouragement, always redirecting them toward their lofty ideal. Nonetheless, not all the birds who began the journey survive. By the time the assembly of birds reaches the court of simorgh, of the hundreds of thousands of birds, only 30 remain. What happens next, the most significant moment the birds have so long awaited, relies on understanding a pun in the original Persian. The word for 30 in Persian is si, and the word for bird in Persian is morgh. Placed together, they make up the word simorgh. You've probably guessed it already. When the gates to simorgh's court are opened, the 30 birds see themselves. They learn that the simorgh they were seeking is none other than themselves, transformed over the course of their difficult spiritual journey. By overcoming all that entangled them in the material world and its temptations and distractions, and by immersing themselves in the inner world of spiritual contemplation, they become one with the truth they longed for. And in the language of Sufis, are annihilated in God and become one with divine love. Enjoy listening to the recitations from Chollet Walpé's beautiful translation.
You tell me stories, they take me far away. So keep them calm and please let me escape. Take me somewhere I've never been. Show me something new, I insist.
The Conference of the Birds, translated by Chollet Walpé. The hoopoe advises the birds. Whether you're an ascetic or a libertine, when you fall in love, your heart becomes the enemy of yourself, and you will no longer care about yourself. Therefore, let go of your ego. It's the road's end anyway. Ego is a dam that keeps you from the path. Give up your eyes so that you may see. If you are told to abandon your faith or commanded to give up yourself, who are you to refuse? Renounce them both. Naysayers say this is blasphemy. Tell them love is above heresy and faith. What does love have to do with belief or unbelief? What do lovers have to do with life's trappings? A true lover strikes a match to the whole harvest. If a hatchet is lifted over a lover's head, a lover of the path will say, "Do it." Love insists on the heart's bleeding pain. Love demands a gnarled and arduous tale. Wine bearer, come pour heart blood into the cup. If you don't have any, borrow some from love. True love comes with passion that burns away veils. Sometimes it ravages the veils. At other times, it mends it. An iota of love is better than all the world's. A morsel of lover's pain is better than the lovers themselves. Love is a magnetic core that draws everything together. But beware, there is no perfect love without pain. Angels hold love, but not the pain. Only mortals merit the pain of love. If you become sure-footed in love, you'll transcend everything, even blasphemy and belief. Love opens the door to poverty. Poverty will steer you to breach faith and belief. When you liberate yourself from all you believe and don't believe, that's when your ego disappears. Only then will you deserve this journey. Only then will you deserve its mysteries. Staunch your fear and step forward. Leave faith and blasphemy behind. Don't worry. Don't be childish. Don't hesitate. Go on, be bold. Take the first step. If 100 tests rain down on you, don't panic. Expect them on this hard journey. Parable of a Dishonorable Warrior. A warrior for the Almighty, fighting against a proud idolater, asked for a respite in order to pray. The idol worshiper granted it. The warrior prayed, then resumed his fight. When the time for the idolater's prayer came, he too asked for a respite. The holy warrior granted it, and the idol worshiper found a clean corner and put his forehead on the dust before his idols. The holy warrior saw his enemy in a vulnerable state and said to himself, "Now victory is mine." But just as he lifted his sword to strike, a voice on high called out, "Well done! Such fidelity, such honor. If you lift your sword against this man, it is out of sheer ignorance. Have you not read the Almighty's command? Keep your covenant. Is that why you are about to behave so faithlessly?" The idol worshiper acted honorably and did not strike, and yet here you are about to commit an act of dishonor. He did good, but now you are about to do evil. Do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. That so-called infidel has shown fidelity and loyalty. Where is yours? You call yourself a man of your word? You call yourself a man of faith? You have fallen far shorter in honor than this idolater. The reprimand froze the holy warrior in his place. Sweat beaded on his body. The idolater saw him standing, sword in hand, weeping. And so he asked, "Why are you crying?" The warrior told it straight. "Just this moment, I have been brought to account for almost breaking the covenant I made with you. Such weeping is on account of your justified wrath." When the man heard the story, he let out a cry and wept too. He said, "How could I show disloyalty to such a great one who rebukes a loyal warrior on account of an enemy? Tell me the message of this great Almighty so that I can understand and reconsider my idols. I regret that my heart never knew this honorable Almighty until now." "Insolent fool! How unfaithful you've been to the one you seek. To the end of time, with endless patience, I shall recount your infidelities one by one." Parable of a Donkey Who Farted. Sheikh Abu Bakr of the city of Nishapur set out for the house of dervishes, followed by his disciples. As he rode on his donkey, the animal suddenly released a fart. The donkey's fart changed the sheikh's mood, and he began to cry and tear at his garment. His disciples, and indeed anyone who saw this, found the sheikh's behavior unbecoming of his lofty station. Someone said, "Come on, sheikh. After all, it wasn't you who farted. What's wrong?" He replied, "I was looking up and down, enjoying the sight of my disciples, for they numbered as far as the eye could see. At that point, I said to myself, by God, I am no less great than the wise Boyazid. I have such devoted followers that surely on the day of judgment, I'll be able to enter that lofty arena with my head held high." Just as I said this to myself, my donkey released a fart. In other words, to he who boasts in such a manner, the donkey gives his proper answer. That is why the fire of shame overtook my soul. My delusions collapsed and my state was altered. If you stay steeped in self-conceit and self-delusion, you'll fall far from the truth. Destroy your self-deceit. Burn your pride. If you live in your ego, set fire to your inner being. You who changes color every second, you who host a pharaoh at the root of each hair, so long as a single particle of your ego survives, you're a hypocrite 100 times over. If you trust your ego, you're an enemy of both worlds, annihilated. And even if you are the night passing through night, you'll still transform to light. Don't ever utter "I," for in that word calamities lie. Don't ever say "I," or you may transform into a devil. Parable of a Crying Lover. There once was a lover of the path who wept bitterly at the hour of his own death. Someone asked, "Why such tears?" He replied, "I weep like spring rain, because if my heart were with the beloved, how is it that I could die?" Another said, "When your heart is with the Almighty, if you die, it will be a good death." He replied, "But if your heart is with the beloved, death never comes. Therefore, if my heart were indeed united with the Almighty, my death would have been impossible." If you are elated by the divine, even for a moment, the world grows too small to contain you. A heart made glad by the Almighty vanishes from the world, freed. Celebrate that eternal friend. Don't stay in your skin like an ephemeral flower. Go on. Break out of your mortality. Parable of a drunk picking on another drunk. A stupid, nasty drunk whose extreme drinking had stripped him of all respect and trust, once again drank too much one night. He had imbibed so much good and bad wine that his head and legs hung listlessly. A sober fellow took pity and shoved him in a gunny sack and threw the sack on his shoulder to take him home. On his way, he passed another drunk, who upon seeing the other fellow unconscious in the gunny sack yelled, "Hey, you wretch! You should drink a little less so you can walk on your own 2 feet." He saw the other fellow and not himself. Such is the condition of us all. If you see the faults of others, you're not a true lover, not fit to be a wayfarer. If you are at all swayed by love, virtues blossom where you had once seen only vices. Parable of the blemish in a beloved's eye. There once was a lion heart, a vanquisher of enemies, who loved a woman for 5 years. This lovely woman had a blemish as small as the tip of a fingernail in one of her eyes. The man never saw this white blemish, even though he gazed into her eyes all the time. How can a man so deeply in love notice a fault in the eye of his beloved? After a while, however, love cooled in the man's heart like a sickness calmed by medicine. His love for the woman waned, and he no longer felt the pain of love. That's when he noticed the deformity in her eye and asked, "When did that blemish appear in your eye?" She replied, "The moment your love for me began to die, When your love faded, so did the perfection of my eyes. Conniving, suspicious, unkind heart, look at your own faults. Don't be blind. How long must you go on pointing out flaws in others? It's high time to catalog your own vices. Start keeping tab on your own shortcomings, and you won't have time to find fault in others.
Thank you for listening. For more episodes of Literature Out Loud, please visit humanities.uci.edu/ICWT.
Take me somewhere I've never been. Show me something new, I insist. Take me somewhere.